Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Castel Gandolfo, September 2008, almost 50 years after the death of Pope Pius XII, precisely at this papal residence in the Alban Hills, our present Pope, Benedict XVI, received in audience an organization by the title of Pave the Way Foundation, a US-based non-sectarian organization which, as its title suggests, has the aim of building bridges between the world's religions. Its president and co-founder, Gary Krupp, a Jew, told us that, like many of his generation, he was brought up to believe that Pius XII was quite simply a Nazi collaborator. An image portrayed by Rolf Hockhut in his 1963 play The Deputy, or The Vicar in the UK, in which this wartime pope was in fact portrayed as a Nazi collaborator and as anti-Semitic. But Mr. Krupp explained when he discovered later on in life that this was far from true, so struck was he by this discovery that he made it his mission in life to shed light on the papacy of this wartime pontiff. Among the many initiatives he has spearheaded since then in an effort to shed light on the figure of Pope Pius XII was a symposium held here in Rome at the beginning of the week, which brought together major historians, scholars, and also a collection of testimonies of that era. It was a symposium which ended with the papal audience I mentioned a moment ago. But let's listen first to Mr. Krupp's words to the Pope.
I wish to report to you that the results of this investigation is stunning and directly contradicts the negative perception of the Pope's wartime activities. All of the documented material which we have gathered, including the transcript of our just completed 3-day symposium, will be turned over to your pontifical institutions and to the internationally recognized Holocaust centers for further study. Based on their review of this new material, and in the interest of maintaining their historical integrity and accuracy, we call upon these institutions to carefully review this new information in order to redefine the current perception of this papacy. This year, for Catholics, October 9th, 2008, will be the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the death of Pope Pius XII. For Jews, this date is also significant, as it is our holiest Jewish holiday of the year, Yom Kippur, our Day of Atonement. May this providential date usher in a new effort to correct the historical record and bring to light the truth of his papacy. I wish to close with a passage from a book written by Ambassador Pincus Lapidus, who is the former Israeli consul general to Italy, and a Jewish theologian. No pope in history has been thanked more heartily by Jews upon his death in 1958. Several suggested in open letters that a Pope Pius XII forest of 860,000 trees be planted on the hills of Judea in order to fittingly honor the memory of this late pontiff, because the Catholic Church, under the pontificate of Pius XII, was instrumental in saving the lives of as many as 860,000 Jews from certain death at Nazi hands.
Pope Benedict, to profit his thanks to this organization, in particular to Mr. Krupp, highlighting the careful and documented examination carried out without bias, thanks to the quantity of documented material gathered and the authoritative testimonies shown.
This anniversary provides an important opportunity to deepen our knowledge of him, to meditate on his rich teaching, and to analyze thoroughly his activities. So much has been written and said of him during these last 5 decades, and not all of the genuine facts of his diverse pastoral activity have been examined in a just light. The aim of your symposium has been precisely to address some of these deficiencies, conducting a careful and documented examination of many of his interventions, especially those in favor of the Jews who in these years were being targeted all over Europe, in accordance with the criminal plan of those who wanted to eliminate them from the face of the earth.
Among the speakers at this three-day convention was the relator for the cause of beatification of Pius XII, Jesuit Peter Gumpel, as well as the consultant for Jewish affairs for the United States Bishops' Conference, Father Dennis McManus. In a few moments, you'll be hearing both their voices, but first I thought we'd listen to the voice of Pius XII himself from our very own Vatican Radio archives, as well as to some of the documented comments made at the time by people like Albert Einstein and even Hitler's propaganda chief Joseph Goebbels. Stay tuned. March 2, 1939. Pope Pius XII, Eugenio Pacelli, was elected as successor of Peter. Germany was quick to react. The very next day, the Berliner Morgenpost, a Nazi propaganda paper, wrote,
"The election of Cardinal Pacelli is not accepted with favor in Germany because he was always opposed to Nazism."
Six months later, the world was at war, and the new pope was making a last desperate appeal for peace through the microphones of Vatican Radio.
Imminente è il pericolo, ma è ancora tempo. Nulla è perduto con la pace. Tutto può esserlo con la guerra.
Nothing is lost with peace. Everything could be lost with war.
Trattando con buona volontà e con rispetto dei reciproci diritti,
less than a month after the outbreak of the Second World War, Pius XII published his first encyclical, Summi Pontificatus, on the unity of human society. In the encyclical, the new pope branded racial prejudice as the most pernicious of modern errors, and condemned, quote, "the forgetfulness of that law of human solidarity, dictated by the equality of rational nature in all persons to whatever people they belong," unquote. On October the 28th, 1939, in Britain, the Times commented on the encyclical under the headline, "New Idolatry Condemned," and across the Atlantic, the New York Times carried an almost identical headline.
Pope condemns persecution.
The New York Times editorial ran as follows.
The voice of Pius XII is a lonely voice in the silence and darkness enveloping Europe this Christmas. He is about the only ruler left on the continent of Europe who dares to raise his voice at all.
With this kind of documented, dated evidence, how is it that the memory of Pius XII is still marred by criticism and accusations that not only did he fail to condemn the Nazi ideology, but that he was silent over the murder of 6.5 million Jews? Listen now to the Pope's first Christmas message addressed to the world at war on Christmas Eve 1939.
Questa guerra mondiale e tutto ciò che le si connette si tratti dei precedenti remoti o prossimi
The world seems to have forgotten Christ's message of peace, the voice of reason, of Christian brotherhood. We have had to witness acts that are irreconcilable with international law, with the principles of human rights, and with the most basic human sentiments. I refer to the premeditated aggression of a minority of hard-working and peaceful people, to the atrocities committed against non-combatants, refugees, the aged, women and children, acts which cry out to God for vengeance.
Contrastanti con lo spirito umano e cristiano. Le convenzioni internazionali per rendere meno.
Questa è in un galantin! Questa è che ci soldati begrüßen!
And then, as the horror of the war became more explicit, Pope Pius XII too became more explicit in his condemnation of the atrocities. Again, it was Christmas, and the war had been raging for 3 years.
Questo voto l'umanità lo deve agli innumerevoli morti che giacciono sepolti nei campi di guerra. Il sacrificio della loro vita nel compimento del loro dovere è l'olocausto per un nuovo mondo.
Hundreds of thousands of persons, through no fault of their own, sometimes only for reasons of nationality or race, are destined to death or to a gradual extinction.
Il sostegno della loro vita. Questo voto l'umanità lo deve a quelli.
And once again, Germany was quick to react. The Gestapo, Hitler's feared police force, issued a report on that message, which was delivered to the Führer himself. This is what it read.
In a manner never known before, the Pope has repudiated the National Socialist New European Order. It is true, the Pope does not refer to the National Socialists in Germany by name, but his speech is one long attack on everything we stand for. Here, he is clearly speaking on behalf of the Jews.
I ask you, what kind of race could he have had in mind, except the Jews? You see, everybody understood this perfectly well, and especially the Nazi authorities understood that, as did the fascist authorities, and there were many protests about this.
Jesuit Father Peter Gumpel, relator for the cause of the beatification of Pius XII, knew him personally.
Of these messages, understood it perfectly well. I said those who were able, because the Vatican radio at the time had a very weak transmission, and it was not easy to capture it. Of course, in Germany, foreign newspapers could not be published. Listening to foreign radios during the war was punishable by death. So many of the statements of the Pope couldn't reach the German public. But I have lived in Germany under Hitler, at least till 1939, and every Catholic knew exactly what the Catholic Church, the bishops, and the Pope were thinking about the persecution of Jews. I think Pius XII did everything he could possibly do to save Jews, and many Jews have admitted that, and Jewish historians and others.
Albert Einstein was one prominent member of the Jewish community who was quick to recognize Pius XII's courage in speaking out against the Nazi ideology. He said as much in an article published in Time magazine in 1940.
Being a lover of freedom, when the revolution came in Germany, I looked to the universities to defend it, knowing that they had always boasted of their devotion to the cause of truth. But no, the universities immediately were silenced. Then I looked to the great editors of the newspapers, whose flaming editorials in days gone by had proclaimed their love of freedom. But they, like the universities, were silenced in a few short weeks. Only the church stood squarely across the path of Hitler's campaign for suppressing truth.
In 1943, Hitler's propaganda chief, Joseph Goebbels, wrote in his diary.
Again and again, reports reached us that the Pope is feverishly at work during this entire crisis.
Documented testimonies like these are overlooked or blatantly ignored by those who insist on their own one-sided view of history.
And it is a sorry fact that now, years or so later, the attack was launched against Pius XII, that he, for financial reasons or out of cowardice or because he was pro-Hitler, did never do anything for the Jews. This is a real falsification of history. Nowadays, many people who write about it, many of these people were not even born. Many of these people have never lived under a political dictatorship and a police state, as we had to live in Germany at that time. And therefore, they are practically, psychologically, not in a position to assess what really went on in Germany and what the possibilities were to do something for people. I think that's the reason. And in his Christmas elocution and elsewhere, he spoke about the illegitimacy and the evil to persecute people just on account of their religion and their race. And I said already that everybody understood, at least also the people who knew about it and the Nazi authority and the fascist authorities complained about these allusions that the Pope made there. He did not mention the term Jews, but that because the term Jew worked as a red cloth on Hitler, and it would have aggravated the situation. And I am personally convinced, having lived under Hitler and having studied these things for many years now, that any public statement of the Pope not only would not have saved a single Jewish life, but would have aggravated the situation of the Jews, and at the same time would have caused an even severer persecution of the Roman Catholic Church, and thus have prevented so many Catholics to help Jews in all secrecy. And this has been done, and unfortunately, in contemporary literature, is belittled or simply ignored or glossed over, and as if this had not happened. There may be other reasons underneath, because, to tell you very frankly, I have talked with a number of Jewish scholars and journalists, and it has been amazing to me that if I asked them whether they ever read or saw or knew about the 11 volumes published by the Vatican on what has happened during the Second World War, a number of them said they had never even heard of it, let alone studied it.
Our first job was to get out the official public and name what is in the archives. But there are many things which are not in the archives and can't be, simply the human drama behind all these papers. So what I would do in the summers and the winters, I would make the rounds of the various archives in Bonn and Koblenz and Berlin and Paris and London and Washington, D.C., where the follow-up of these, the background of these situations are on the record. And so much of this case...
Jesuit historian Father Robert Graham, foremost expert on the Vatican and World War II, spent 14 years researching and writing those 11 volumes. He, too, knew Pius XII personally.
Downgraded, systematically downgraded. And the four volumes that the Vatican published of the papal relief during the war has been systematically put aside, ignored. Well, now that's not honest. It isn't even moral, but it's certainly a proof that of the partiality of the type of propaganda that we've been reading in the press for a good number of years now. The series is known as the victims of the war. And it was not really in Rome. There was a lot about Rome, but also the things what happened in Poland and in Russia and in Germany and in France also. In terms of the predicament of the poor innocent victims of the war.
You were listening there to an excerpt from an archive interview I did myself with Father Robert Graham before his death in 1997. Whose legacy today is in the hands of the Consultant for Jewish Affairs of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Father Dennis McManus, one of the speakers at the Pave the Way Foundation Symposium examining the pontificate of Pope Pius XII this past week in Rome. I met him there and asked him to sit down with me in our studios here earlier in the week, beginning by asking him to speak to me, well, precisely, of Father Robert Graham.
Thank you. Father Graham was a Jesuit who was originally assigned in Rome to La Civiltà Cattolica, and I think he was a staff editor and author. And one fine day, as I understand it, he was asked to visit Secretary of State. And in that secretariat, they asked him to take special charge of a project. And the project was to collect everything he could find, both in the Vatican archives, government cables, libraries, media reports, interviews, anything he could find on the relationship of Pope Pius with the Jewish communities of Europe, especially during the war years. So Father Graham was astounded and pleased, from what I understand, to be asked to do this, and spent the next 25 to 30 years doing exactly that, and had carte blanche admittance to anything he needed in the Holy See. Secret archives, papers, nunciature correspondence, chancelleries across Europe. He made the rounds and really put together a fabulous collection of papers. He also worked, as you alluded, under another Jesuit, Father Blay, who was the chairman of a working group that put together these huge cross-sample section of documents from the Vatican archives about what went on between the Holy See and different governments during the war years, most especially relative to saving the Jews, relations with the Jews of the Holy See, Pope Pius's own interventions on many occasions, the Holy See's exchanges with military authorities, governments, prisoner of war camps, anything at all. The Jesuit fathers did a very long, detailed examination of what was in the archives and took what they felt was a representative cross-section of documents there. Father Graham was a part of that team, and today those 11 volumes are really the most important set of documents we have on the whole issue.
Now, Father Graham lived in Rome during the German occupation. He knew Papa Pacelli personally, yet he started, from what I understand, he started working on these volumes in the 1960s.
That's correct. I think it was 1963 he was first asked to take a look at this. And from what I understand, he had already done a brilliant volume in Geneva of his own on Vatican diplomacy in Europe. It became standard reading at the Accademia and a few other places for the training of diplomats, and still is quite an excellent volume, historically speaking. So I think what happened was his talent was spotted by the Holy See after the publication of that book.
Pope Benedict has recently opened the Vatican archives relative to the pontificate of Pius the 11th. The ordinary person, the man on the street, doesn't have access to the Vatican archives relative to the pontificate of Pius the 12th. How does this documentation that Father Graham put together stand compared to the Vatican archives, do you think, in your opinion?
I'm not sure. The problem in front of us as archivists and historians is that Father Graham's collection was sent home when he became ill here in Rome, sent home with him back to his California province of the Jesuit fathers. And it was integrated into the Jesuit archives of California. When I was called to take a look at it 10 years ago, it was at that time 250 portfolio size boxes. And it's an immense amount of material. My estimation, 25,000 separate documents. And they are not yet cataloged or accessed. They are now here in Rome. They are at the Jesuit Generalate on the Borgo Santo Spirito. And I've been invited by Father Gumpel to come back and take a look.
Father Gumpel is the relator of the cause for the beatification of Pius XII.
Exactly. So what we have to do, I think, is reassess everything in Father Graham's collection and see what there is new, what the Vatican Archives has and does not have. I think in Father Graham's collection are going to be wonderful surprises. Personal interviews, eyewitness accounts, cablegrams, all kinds of exchanges between governments. some of which the Vatican archives would have and some of which would be on hand in different dioceses and other chancelleries of governments in Europe, but many of which were secret in nature, were ciphered cablegrams, and Father deciphered them with the help of others during the war. And I think what you have here is a potential treasure trove of information about how the Holy Father, Pius XII, made extraordinary efforts to help save Jewish lives during the war.
From what you said, there are 11 volumes which are bound, and then there's other documentation as well. Is that clear?
Yes. The bound volumes were done some years back as an initial look-through of what was in the Vatican archives. Since that time, and under the generosity of Pope John Paul II and also our current Holy Father Benedict XVI, the archives have intensified their efforts to assess and catalog and make available everything year by year through the pontificate of Pius XI. So I think this year the archives are now open through the year 1939. And next year we begin 1940s, and it's 1939 through 1945, which are most critical to the questions of Pius XII and the Jews. These are going to be big years for all of us interested.
But did you think that Father Graham's documentation is going to be published at all? Or?
We're hoping. I would love to see a project whereby a group of scholars, perhaps Catholic and Jewish together, could assess what's in Father Graham's collection and at least see it digitalized and then bound and made available for historians and archivists to begin reading.
But there's going to be a team of people working on this.
Well, that would be the proposal. So far, there's no decision taken, but that would be the idea.
You were listening there to the consultant for Jewish affairs of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Father Dennis McManus. We'll be hearing more from that interview with Father Dennis in the weeks to come, and also more from my archive interviews with Jesuit Father Robert Graham. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.